prostitutes. Now, last week, let's go back to our verses in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking bread, prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. So last week we talked about the importance of what? Hospitality. Hospitality. And what stood out to you as we discussed that lesson last week? Would you share with us maybe this morning some things that you came away thinking, or maybe things that changed your thinking a little bit? Anybody at all? Yeah, and that's what we talked about last week. And we talked about how, as a church, if we're going to help others as they're discipled, it's incumbent upon each of us to be a hospitable people. We talked about a lot of things about that. Is there anything that stood out? You can go back. That's actually recorded and probably be posted later today if you wanted to listen to it. But anything that stood out to somebody or maybe challenged their thinking on that or encouraged them in a certain regard? Yes, sir. Sure. Sure. Yeah. Somebody else. Anything that stood out? Yeah. Somebody? Okay, yeah, that was something we talked about last week, that it can be very simple. It's not always about impressing or things like that. So that's good. Anybody, anything else? All right. Along the lines of hospitality, actually, first I want to tell you a quick story, and then I want to give you something this morning. But and this has to do with hospitality. I've actually had this printed out for a long time, and I've been waiting for the right moment to give it out. But first, I forgot we've been sharing testimonies about sharing our faith, and I just wanted to know if anybody had a story or an account this week where they got to share the gospel with somebody or invite somebody to church. Brother Russ. Oh, yeah, this was Sunday after church. And you said he started. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So he actually sat down right there and started reading it. So praise the Lord for that. Russ told me that story Sunday night when we came back to church Sunday night. So terrific. We had a great Sunday night service last week, by the way. If you missed it, you missed it. The singing was just really incredible. And the preaching, no, just we had a really good time. So there's no Sunday night church tonight, but next week we'll be back at it. Somebody else, did you have a chance to witness to someone? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, wow. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, so an opportunity to show compassion to somebody. Mm-hmm. Oh, she gave them up. So do they know the Lord, or they're they? Yeah, and with the Bible. I had a good friend in college, Eric. Boy, it's been a long time. I can't even remember his last name right now. I guess he wasn't such a good friend, huh? But Eric was a friend of mine in college, and he was in high school, and he had a fellow student in high school who must have known she needed to witness to him, but she didn't really have the guts until, like, toward the very end, she just gave him a Bible. Like, read this kind of thing. And he said he'd never read the Bible before, and he started, for whatever reason, he worked his way backwards. He started in Revelation, and by the time he got through the New Testament, he trusted Christ as his Savior. So giving a Bible out, that's wonderful. Roger got saved reading the Bible, right? And that's cool. Praise the Lord. Anybody else got to share their faith this week with somebody? Amen. All right. I had an opportunity yesterday. Somebody that I work with in this area, I had to meet him, and I happened to be here. And I said, he had to bring something to me for work. And I said, well, I'm here. He's like, well, can I come over? I'm like, yeah, come on over here. And so I met him in the driveway out there. And we were talking. And obviously, with the setting, we were talking about the church. And I'm like, well, come on in. I'll give you the tour. And he got the tour of the building and the Romans Road. And we had a good talk. This is somebody that, and this really struck me, when this happened yesterday. He's probably somewhere in his 50s, and grew up Catholic his whole life, CCD classes, you know, all the stuff that a lot of you grew up with, maybe. I asked, you know, do you know for sure if you die that you go to heaven? He's like, well, and he said that it was the classic, well, I hope so. And I've been a good person. I try to do my best, and all the typical answers that people say. I said, yeah, but has anybody ever showed you from the Bible that the Bible actually says that you can know for sure? And he said, no. Nobody ever asked. And as I talked with him, and as we talked, and he didn't get saved yesterday, but we had a really good conversation, and we went through the whole gospel, and I gave him a tract. But as we talked, I just realized that here he is. He's lived in this area since 1984, from Worcester, lived here since 84, and it just dawned upon me that his entire life, he's actually never heard that he had never heard the gospel. Ever. Like, he did not know the good news that Jesus died for our sins and that faith alone saves. Nobody had ever told him that. He'd never been to an evangelical or Baptist church service his entire life. And we talk about people like in the remotest parts of the world, but there are people all over. All kinds of people, educated people, uneducated people, working people, non-working people, regular people, they've never, ever had the gospel clearly explained to them. And it's a task that we have to do. And but it's exciting to be able to be the one to share that with somebody. And he left the door open to say, oh, we'll have to talk about this again. You know, he wasn't, at that moment, he didn't seem overcome with conviction or anything, but at the same time, he said he was open, and he'd talk about it, he'd consider coming out to a service and hearing. But that's why, you know, so much of what we do has got to be about the gospel and showing people the gospel. Like, you never heard it, ever. But how many of you spent your whole childhood, grew up, and it wasn't until an adult that you even, like, later in your adult years, that you ever even heard the gospel? And it's amazing. Just, it's not that people have rejected it. It's that they've never even heard it. You didn't understand it. Or you didn't understand it maybe personally, that it was, yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Right. Yeah. If somebody doesn't tell you, how shall they hear? Right. A lot of good works and hoping and people like that all around. So there are people that grew up in religion and never heard. And then now increasingly people my age and younger, they didn't even grow up religious. They don't know anything about the gospel. They don't know anything about church at all. Which, by the way, is why, and just to kind of try to make a connection to bring us back on topic, which I don't mind that discussion, that was great. But which, by the way, it's so important that we are a hospitable church, right? And that nothing we do could prevent someone from, do you ever think about that? Just from somebody's first, I mean, the power of God obviously breaks through, can break through anything. But from somebody's, the very first time they pull up onto the street, to the what happens when they walk in the door, to how they interact with the people here, will have an effect on how people, how their guard is, and how they'll hear, and how they'll listen. And so that's why I think these kinds of things, and being a welcoming place and a loving place, are so important, because it sets the tone for people, for the soil to be soft, for people's hearts to be ready to hear the gospel. So I wanted to share this with you, because we were talking about hospitality last week. But this is a great little article that our friend Carrie Schmidt wrote several months ago. And I just want to share this with everybody. How to make this Sunday awesome. And I think it's well written. It gives some really good practical things for how each of us has a part. It's not just the pastors that prepare and the Sunday school teachers that do it, but every single person, if you pass that down, can have a part in what takes place each week. So I'm going to share this. Here you go, one more. All right, I'll let you guys just pass these around. All right, so they're coming around. Let's get them around. I'm going to take a minute and share this with you. Then I want to get into a short lesson as well. But what he says, do you love your church? How about it? Okay, do you help your church to thrive? That's the question. Do you cooperate with your church family to make every Sunday as powerful as it can be for as many people as possible? Have you considered what you could do to make this Sunday even better? Here are some, I like what he calls these. Here are some 2-degree shifts. In other words, we're not radically reinventing anything. We're just making little changes in the way we do things. How about this? Number one, he says, commit to a lifestyle of worship. Real love for Jesus continues all week. Live today and every day with a heart of worship. You'll show up at church with an attitude of joy and worship. You know what happens sometimes? That sometimes we live our whole week in the flesh, and then we come to church on Sunday looking for our injection of, just that quick injection to kind of get that spirituality. But have you ever noticed there are some days when it seems like from the very first song that's sung, God's people are there to worship Him? Have you noticed that sometimes? But sometimes the church service starts out, or from the time you walk in the door, you can tell that. Why? It's because each of us says, you know what? I'm coming to church to worship God. I'm preparing in advance. Amen? Think about this one. Number two, I think this is really important. Protect Sunday. Just protect it. Protect Sunday. I understand that occasionally people miss for different reasons, but listen, if you will make it a point in your life to just protect that day and say nothing is going to happen, work's not going to happen. There are precious few occupations where people have to work on the Lord's Day. Rescue personnel and police officers and nurses and doctors, they have to work, or else we'd all be in a lot of trouble, right? But listen, if every burger joint shut down on Sunday, that would be okay, right? We'd cook our own food at home. So a Christian doesn't need to work on the Lord's Day. And by protecting that day, there's a blessing. Will missing a Sunday ruin your Christian faith? No, of course not. I'm not exaggerating here or being extreme, but committing to a lifestyle to protect that Sunday, that'll make a difference. If you invite your friend to church, what do you want them to see when they come in? I mean, honestly, maybe it's a little bit fleshly, but when you bring somebody to church, what are the things you want them to see? I'd like them to see a good group of people. What else do you want them to see? Happy people, right? And do you realize that your place in the pew could make a difference for somebody else's friend or loved one when they bring them? Isn't that amazing that you think about all that, how it goes together? So protect Sunday. Make Sunday an important day, God, for ourselves and for the benefit of those around us. Number three, sleep well Saturday. This is good to teach our children. When I was a kid, we weren't allowed to stay up late on Saturday night. Saturday night wasn't movie night or game night or event night. You get that out of your system on Friday. Saturday night, we were preparing to go to the house of the Lord the next day. And it's important to protect that Saturday. In fact, when we plan our youth activities, we try our very best to never have late night Saturday activities. Bill is laughing because he works all night. But we need correction officers to be up at night sometimes too. So that's one of those precious few. But praise the Lord, I can say two people in this room, Bill Zalazzo and Deborah, my dear wife, are both people that have protected their Sundays. And over the years, you might not have known it, but Deborah was up there playing the piano and teaching a Sunday school class and then falling asleep in the back during the sermon. And you know what? Because both of these people worked all night and came to church that morning. And they don't want me to brag on them. They're probably going to be upset with me for doing that. But it's a testimony to someone. And I'm not saying that you're a bad Christian if you sleep and you need to. I'm just making a point that is our desire to say, any way possible, I'm going to be with God's people. So I love that, number three, sleep well on Saturday. I like number four, pray for Sunday, right? Just pray for it. As you get closer to the weekend, be praying. Boy, the more you pray for that service, the more engaged you'll be in it. The more likely you are to invite somebody to it. Pray for it. I like that. Number five, expect and preempt resistance. How many of you just know, especially if you've got young children or have had young children, Sunday mornings, it's like the devil's on overtime to cause disruption and chaos in the family. Huh? How about it? It's like, man. And so you're in the car, you pull into the driveway, and you open the door, Don't do that. Find ways. And I'll be honest with you, my wife and I, it took us a long time to sort through that. There were a lot of Sundays where it was like, let's do this. And we finally, we finally found a system that works a whole lot better. And we have, I'm not saying anything that you've not dealt with yourself. So, where you can have a good Sunday morning. But you got to sometimes change things. Be willing to do things a little bit differently. Number six, arrive a little early. Hey, we talked about that last week, and I saw early people today. That was cool. It gives you time to have coffee. He says these things in here. All right, number seven. I want to talk about this one. Number seven, consider guests and or the elderly when parking. We have the worst parking of almost any church I've ever been to. All right? Okay? But that hasn't stopped. And I've had people tell us, like, oh, yeah, you've got a great building and this and that. I'm like, yeah, but our parking. And they're like, yeah, your parking's a problem. It's a problem. You know what, though? By each of us sometimes going a little bit out of our way, we can make that better. I never knew this for years. Charlie and Jimmy told me the very first time they visited this church, very first Sunday they planned on visiting our church, do you know what happened? They drove away. Why? Because there was nowhere to park. There's nowhere to park. So when we ask ushers and greeters to help with all of this and park, it makes a difference. Where can people park and helping them find that? And ourselves, that's why, especially in the winter, we say, everybody pull in the parking lot. So I'm just trying to give us an idea as to say, hey, where do I want to park, but where should I park? How can I park that it'll make a difference so that somebody that's coming in won't be inconvenienced and where do I go? What do I do? I like that one. So number eight, how about this one? Greet and meet somebody. Yeah, we've talked about that a lot, so I'll skip over that. How about number nine? Serve or help someone. This is really good. Think about that on a Sunday. Think about, as I talk to people, I'm going to hear little clues. And when I hear those little clues, it'll show me how I can serve somebody else. Neat little story about that. Aaron, how many remember, he's visited a couple of times, my friend Brent Mangus, who's visited here a couple of times the last year or two. Okay, so my friend Brent and Aaron were talking on Facebook because Aaron posted that he likes to make cold brew coffee, all right? And Brent was the one that got us started on that because he came with this little system he had and he started making it. So he and Aaron are talking, and Aaron, and he says, what's your system? And Aaron starts telling him about it, and they're chatting a little bit. Well, a little bit later, he gets a message from Brent that says, hey, look in the mail because you're going to be getting a cold brew system for your home. You know what? He had a conversation, and he was looking for an opportunity to serve somebody. And he just picked up on a little clue. And what a blessing that is, right? I was with Chris Chavez one time a few years ago driving his car, and he had this cool little Bluetooth thing, but before all the cars had it automatically. I was like, that is really cool, and we were talking about it. Well, wouldn't you know, about 2 weeks later, I get a package in the mail, and there it is. That very thing, he got one for me. And just little things like that. But as you talk with people, part of this hospitality and part of caring one for another, and remember, as we read in Acts chapter 2, and they had all things in what? In common? Those are little ways to show that. So how can you serve somebody? I just love, you may see somebody that comes in, and maybe they're a little bit elderly, and I love it when Christina comes, and I haven't seen her in a couple of weeks, but 1 week I got Christina a cup of coffee, and now sometimes she just asks me for that cup of coffee. And that's okay, because that's what we're here for, right? That's what we're here to do, serve others. So that's really good. How about this? Number 10, sit closer to the front. And every pastor in the world said, amen. Sit closer to the front. But there's an important reason for that. I would say especially the back two rows in our church. How many of you have ever been late to something? Deborah, hold that up. Come on. How many of you have ever been late to something? Come on now. How many of you have ever been late to something? Okay. Some of us are experts at it. What's the worst part about being late to an event? Oh, gosh. My goodness. It's like, oh, yeah. You're late? Don't worry. We have the penalty box for latecomers right here. Now, we don't do that. We don't do that. But there are times, you know what? When somebody comes in late, there's nothing better than one of our ushers or greeters meeting them out in that room and saying, hey, we're really glad you're here. We got stuff for the kids downstairs. Come on in. We've got spots right here for you. So if you do sit in those back rows there, always keep in mind, can I scoot in a little bit so that if somebody were to come, I've got room for them? And if you find yourself sitting in that back row, and you see somebody comes in, just take it upon yourself to scoot over to make room for somebody to come in. It seems kind of like, if you're old and crusty and New England-y, like I can even be sometimes, why do I do this? I don't know about it. Come on, how many of you ever acted like that before? Huh? I mean, some of us do. But you know what? It's just treating someone how you'd want to be treated, right? If you walked in somewhere and somebody said, you know what? Let me get out of the way and make a spot for you. Well, yeah. They just might. But sitting close to the front helps that. You know why I like printing articles like this? Because my dad has said this kind of stuff for years. I say that, but I like to see it. A little third-party verification, as they say. You know, it comes from somebody else. That all churches struggle with these things, but churches that want to reach people, be hospitable to people, these are things that we endeavor to do. Because we're taking the model from the book of Acts. They studied the word together. They fellowshiped together. They had all things in common. How about this one? Number 11, help the ushers. We don't have a huge church with lots going on, so that's not super relevant here. But just looking for ways to help out if somebody comes in. By the way, those of you that do help with greeting people and ushering for people, it's so great if when somebody comes in and, I've got to work on this. We don't have any signs here. So if somebody comes in, guess what? They don't know where something is. They don't know where the bathroom is, do they? No idea. They don't know where any of that is. They don't know where their kids are supposed to go. They don't know any of that. So it's great when people just say, oh, yeah, what's better? Oh, yeah, over there? Or let me show you. Let me take you. Let me show you what we can do. So little things like that, how we can help out. Now number 12. Number 12 here. This is good. Worship with authenticity. Give Jesus your total focus in worship and let your heart meditate on the messages of the songs. Become, look at this now. This one is interesting. Become vulnerable in singing. In fact, with this, I'm going to have you turn to a reference. Go to Colossians chapter 3 with me. This is really important as we talk about singing. Okay, if you're in Colossians 3, and by the way, I just changed my Bible study, so we'll never get to my main one today. So back now to the notes that you have from Brother Schmidt there. Number 12, worship with authenticity. Give Jesus your total focus in worship. Let your heart meditate on the message of the songs. By the way, whether it's your favorite song or not your favorite song, right? Some of us like different styles and we like this or that. But as we sing, we sing to the Lord, right? But now, his last statement there, become vulnerable in singing. What do you think he means by that? I think I know what he means. What do you think that he means? Frank? Okay. Oh, so being allowing. Yeah. Why? So there's an aspect of vulnerability. Why else do you think he uses the term vulnerable? That's true. And all of this kind of, yep. Let your guard down. Okay, did you hear what he just said? I was waiting for that. Okay? He said, don't worry about scaring people with your voice. Okay? Now, you shouldn't sing obnoxiously, obviously. Okay? The Bible says make a joyful noise. But part of the vulnerability is saying, hey, I might not be the best singer, but our voices are supposed to join how? Together. Honestly, I would much rather have a church where the congregation sings and nobody sings special music if the congregation sang from their heart. You know what I mean? Because that's what a church is called to. Congregational worship is the prime singing that's supposed to take place in the church. So be vulnerable in a couple of ways. Emotionally, we let the music and the words speak to our heart, and sometimes that may affect you emotionally. And that might be a little bit embarrassing. But it's also a powerful demonstration to people around you that the Lord is doing something to your heart. It's a form of praise to the Lord. But then also what Dennis said is that vulnerability, because we might not have the best voice, but it doesn't matter. Who are we singing to? We're singing to the Lord. First and foremost, yes, ma'am. Yep. Right. Yeah, there is nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong with a raised hand in worship. It's appropriate. It's biblical. Now, there are charismatic churches that get out of hand, and you can't pay attention on what's happening because everybody's swaying and moving in the places. I've seen those kinds of things. I've also been in Baptist churches where there's a freedom in worship. The people aren't afraid to let people know that I love the Lord, and in this song I'm going to do that. And that might not be your thing. That's okay. I'm not saying everyone has to do that, but that's absolutely right. Another real simple thing? Somebody gets up here with a microphone and gets ready to sing a song. You know what you can do? You know what would be okay to do? Mrs. Thompson knows that. I mean, smile. Let somebody know that you are glad that they're up there to worship the Lord, because it's a scary thing to stand up here. But we're here for the Lord, right? And that's a vulnerability right here. But you can just let a simple smile to say, you know what? I'm looking forward to this. And it's okay to say amen during the song. I mean, praise the Lord. But vulnerability, first and foremost, I would just say this. Just sing from your heart and let your voice praise the Lord, because one, you're singing to Him. But two, who else are you singing to? Did you know that? That that's biblical? Look at Colossians chapter 3. And look at verse number 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing who? One another with Bible studies and Sunday school lessons. You say, well, I can't teach anybody anything. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I can't do this. But you know what you can do? You can sing. And the Bible says the singing, that's why, by the way, it's important to sing songs that are worship songs, but also songs that teach doctrinal truth, because as we sing, we teach one another. Man, we teach one another about a lot of things, too. And there is something powerful about a church that lifts up their voice and sings. They're not worried about their talent. They're not worried about their ability. They just want everyone to know that they love the Lord, they love the Bible, and they want the world to know it. They want the world to know it. So sing. And by the way, that's why we put the words on the screen, and as much as we can, we still give you the hymn book number, because I know some people like to sing out of the hymn book. Some people, they don't like to, they want to see it on the screen, all of that. So we try to do it. We try to make it, and we sing different styles of music because we want God's people, whether they're old, whether they're young, from all, we want God's people to be able to sing, to lift up their voices. So I camped out on that one for a little while, but it's important that we worship authentically. Then number 13, he says, listen with expectancy. Listen with expectancy. When we get ready to preach the Word of God, how can you listen expectantly? How can you do that? I mean, really? Tell me. Somebody? Eager? So what's that going to look like? Yeah, I mean, there's little things. What does that look like? Listening expectantly. Well, it looks a little different for everybody, but for some people, listening expectantly means Bible out, pen in hand, I'm ready to get something. I'm going to write this down. It could mean sitting up at the edge of your seat. It could mean, I mean, just eagerly waiting. Do you believe God wants to speak through His Word to us? Yeah, it's right. So listen with expectancy and expect the Word of God to change you. We have invitation at the end of the service. Why do we have an invitation? Not could have, but should have, right? The Word of God should speak to us. By the way, the altar, the altar call, the invitation, and it's conducted many different ways. That's another opportunity for worship. It's an opportunity to say, you know what? God has spoken to my heart, and I'm gonna publicly demonstrate that. I'm gonna kneel. I'm gonna demonstrate that. But expect the Word of God to change us. And that's number 14, to respond to God. Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah, it's probably the worst time for anybody to leave the service, actually. If you got to get up and go for an emergency and you're not sure, get up before we get to invitation time if you have to, because that is a crucial point. That's why we had the windows open this morning, and I'm like, we need to close the windows, because it never fails. The motorcycles drive by right at the end, and the dog barks right at the end. But that is the whether you do it at your seat, but I'd encourage you. There are times when you know God's spoken to your heart, and it's like, I should publicly come down and pray. It's a statement that God is at work in our midst. You know what I mean? That it's a public demonstration of that, and it's powerful. So be ready to respond, and don't let anything distract you at the end. And when I was in college, It was so embarrassing. In a room of 5,000 people, the most embarrassing thing was you'd come, they'd have a guest speaker. You had to go to chapel every single day. So a lot of those chapels were really good, but just like you're busy in life. You know, you got to get to the next class, do this, and the bell rings at the end of the chapel. But what would happen at the end of chapel, that the sermon is, you know when the sermon's winding down, right? You know when it's coming to the end. And he's making like his final closing remarks. And you hear like a wave, 5,000 strong. Zip. What's everybody doing? They're packing up because they got to get out of that room before the other 4,999 people, so they're not stuck in a big line. Because, I mean, there's lunch ready, right? It's that whole, you know what? Just, if you're expecting, and we're here to worship God, just hang on to the very end. Be a part of it. And then even after the service ends, even after it ends, just take a moment and kind of let that solidify, let that stick in. Don't just run to refill or your coffee or that. I mean, just let what's been said speak to your heart. So respond. And then number 15, which we've been talking about all the time, all the time, all the time, and that is invite someone else to come and see. We talk about that all the time. But can I tell you, and listen, everyone, this is where I'm closing, so don't pack up. As these guys leave, this is the worst time for you to leave. You should have left 5 minutes ago. You were supposed to leave 5 minutes ago, but you were hanging on every word, actually. All right. Oh, come on, come on. No. All right. Number 15 there, invite someone else to come and see. Do you know what will make you, personally eager for someone else to come and see? Do you know what will? Where you'll say, I've got to get my friends to come and see this. What will happen is if number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13, and 14 are regularly taking place among God's people. If there's a church, if there's a group of people who are living out what we just went through, then that is a beautiful thing. That's the bride of Christ behaving like the bride of Christ. And the more each and every one of us see our responsibility to be the church, to take the personal responsibility. I can't control how you come to church. You can't control how I can. We can't control any of that. But I can certainly control how I come to the house of God and the part that I have and the responsibility that I take. And when each of us does that, it is a display. That's why I love, some churches don't emphasize inviting people to church, but I love it because what it does is before the gospel is even preached, people have a chance to see the gospel on display in a church. And that's the beauty of a healthy, thriving local church, is people literally get to look at the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. And then the word of God comes and speaks how you can be a part of that, how you can receive forgiveness. So anyway, I really wasn't, I honestly did have a whole bunch of other notes to go through today. I wasn't just, you know, winging it. I've got other stuff to talk about. But I'm glad we heard some great testimonies to start. So please do this, if you would. Take this thing and maybe, you know, pin it up on your fridge for a few weeks. Just put this somewhere where you can think about it. Talk about it as a family and think about what you can do. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that we've been able to look at these truths this morning and look at these few passages from the Bible. And Lord, now we prepare to sing and worship you. I pray that our singing would be exuberant, would be spirit-filled, and it would, Lord, it would minister grace to those who hear it, and it would most of all exalt and magnify your name. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.